すればえや。Vasudevaya Japala Savila Sapaktya Kama Sayangratitamut Gratayanti Shanta
Kama Sayangratitamut Gratayanti Shanta
Dhatmanarek Mata yo yata yo pirutta.
Dharma rikta mata yo yata yo pirutta.
Shoto ganans tamaranang bhajava sudevam.
Shoto ganans tamaranang bhajava sudevam.
Yat para pankaja pralasa vilasa bhaktiya.
Yat para pankaja pralasa vilasa bhaktiya.
Kama shayam yat. Kama shayam gratita mut gratayan tishanta.
Kama shayam gratita mut.
Tatmanna rikta matayo yatayo pirutta.
Tatmanna rikta matayo yatayo pirutta.
Shroto ganastamadanam bhajavasudevam.
Shroto ganastamadanam bhajavasudevam.
Yat para pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya.
Yat para pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya.
Karma shayam gratitam udgratayanti santa.
Karma shayam gratitam udgratayanti santa.
Tat vannarik Matayo yatayo pirutta.
Anarita matayo yatayo pirutta.
Shoto ganastamadanam bhajavasudevam.
Shoto ganastamadanam bhajavasudevam.
Yat para pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya.
Para pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya.
Kama shayam gratita mut gratayanti shanta.
Kama shayam gratita mut gratayanti shanta.
Atmanarikta matayo yatayo pish ruddha.
Atmanarikta matayo yatayo pirudha.
Shoto ganastamadanam bhajavasudevam.
Shoto ganastamadanam bhajavasudevam.
Yes. Please, someone else.
Yeah.
Jesus, please. Feet, Pankaja, lotus, Palasha, petals or toes, Vilasa, enjoyment, Bhaktya, by devotional service, Karma, fruitive activities. Ashayam, desire. Gratitam, heart not. Utgratayanti, root out. Santaha, devotees. Tat, that. Vat, like. Na, never. Rikta matayaha, persons devoid of devotional service. Yatayaha, ever increasingly trying. Api, even though. Rudha, stopped. Shlotagana, the waves of sense enjoyment. Tam, unto him. Aranam, worthy to take shelter. Bhaja, engage in devotional service. Vasudevam, unto Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. This is a very, very nice verse. And I thought to read to you the translation after I have given the contextual frame in which this verse was spoken, because we humans understand things in context. I would like to welcome you to this series of lectures. It's lectures in which I try to give my best to present the process of Krishna consciousness in a way which is both relevant for your own spiritual life and in a way which is vibrant with spiritual informations, which may sometimes escape us during the our lives. I think all of us, older devotees, younger devotees, men, women, brahmacharis, grihastas, temple presidents and temple skeptics, we all are held together by one common mission which I would like to address, that is our spiritual evolution, our spiritual progress, our path which we have chosen, and the desire to move ahead on this path. I think this original desire which brought us to Krishna consciousness, this desire which kept us in Krishna consciousness, and this desire which one day will bring us to the lotus feet of the Lord, is something which we all have in common, something which connects us. Even though our lives develop in just individual ways, in different ways, still we feel we come together as devotees of Krishna because we hope that somehow my spiritual life will get some nourishment by this gathering. So I would love to address this need in us, the need how to make spiritual advancement, how to move forward on our path. It is always said that if you are blessed by God, then you will meet saintly people. The moment someone gets blessed by Krishna, he will get a sadhu, a devotee or devotees in his or her life. This is how you can see that someone is blessed. And this is also how you can see that someone is at the moment not blessed. He has not come into this advancement, which is the birthplace of bhakti. Sadhu Sangha is called the birthplace where bhakti takes birth. There's a very nice ancient narration in the Bhagavatam where this becomes very clear. The blessings of Krishna mean you meet devotees. There was one king, Maharaj Paritu, who had made a big sacrifice. At that time, sacrifices were something which was visited by the whole kingdom. In our modern day and life, we don't know of such mass events as sacrifices. Maybe a lot of people come together when a famous music group comes, or maybe they come together if the Pope comes, then many people assemble in one place. But in the ancient sacrifices, these were events, whole countries came together. And kings had to build towns for the guests who would come. So many were there. So Maharaj Prithu had arranged a sacrifice, and this sacrifice was so extraordinary that Lord Vishnu had personally come at the end of the sacrifice to grace the assembly. Just imagine this. God had personally appeared. I think many people would come. Imagine we would announce God will appear. Then we most probably would also have to build a town like the Olympic Games town, where millions of people would come. I mean, we would have to say in such a way that people would believe us, you know. Maybe some president of a country would have to speak out, God will appear on such and such day, at such and such place. So yes, at the end, everyone saw a mighty eagle, Garuda, flapping with his powerful wings, and on top of it, Vishnu. And Vishnu did something extraordinary. He loved Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj loved him in pure bhakti. And for the first time in the history of this planet Earth, Vishnu had not only appeared, but he had touched with his lotus feet the earth. The Lord appears, he always keeps a little distance from the earth. He's this much above the earth. He's in the sky because he doesn't want to touch the earth, which is earthly or worldly. But to show his sympathy to Prithu Maharaj, the Lord had personally touched his kingdom with his lotus feet. Just imagine it. Just like he did in Vrindavan, where he appeared and touched with his lotus feet the dust. So he had instructed the Prithu Maharaj. And at the end, just before he left, was in parting, he had said, I bless you. Can you imagine what were his blessings? See, you are not listening. We started at who? I just acoustically cannot hear you. Yes, he had said. See, yes, maybe a Brahmana is speaking. Maybe has informed us. At the beginning of the lecture, we heard, but it came in our ear, but our mind was not yet here, so we could not register it. But from now on, we will. It's good that we had this embarrassing situation where you didn't know something which you heard just 2 minutes ago. That is very good. That's Krishna's mercy. It shows us we have to somehow bring our mind to what is happening. No? That was very good. Krishna's mercy on us. So from now on, be there, right? So, the Lord had instructed, when he left, he said, soon you will meet the four Kumaras who will instruct you how to attain me. Prithu had seen Vishnu, but had he attained him? You have seen Krishna on the altar, but have you obtained him? You have heard the Bhagavatam, but has it entered your heart? You have heard the Mahamantra, but can you really say I'm absorbed in the Lord's name? So, devotees are needed if you want to not not superficially reach something, but if you deeply want to attain it. And therefore, Preetam Maharaj was blessed by the Lord. I bless you. I bless you. Yes, I have appeared, but to obtain me, you need now good association. The four Kumaras will instruct you in the path of how to reach me. Are you interested in this path?
Yes.
Oh, good. Because otherwise I would have prepared for nothing. I think this is a very important question. We have come in contact with this old parampara and this knowledge, but we still, some of us have still the feeling we have not really gotten hold of the thing, you know. So here might be in these two lectures we might get at least some theoretical knowledge with which we can then work and which we can put into our practice. How to attain the Lord, how to reach Him, how to embrace Him to our heart's content. So yes, soon thereafter, Preetam Maharaj was one day in his kingdom. He saw something in the sky which looked like a sun, but it was in a strange direction. You know, it was supposed to be, the sun was supposed to be in the east, but this sun came from the northern direction. The sun never comes out of the north. Then it was becoming, the light was spreading, and then in that light he saw four personalities who descended and came on the earth and stood before him. And when the light was a little bit, when he could see through the light, he could see, my God, these are young boys who are the oldest of the oldest. They were the four Kumaras, the firstborn sons of Lord Brahma. And he remembered that the Lord, when he left him, had said, you will attain by my mercy the association of saintly people, and they will instruct you further. So Preetam and his ministers got immediately up, and the Bhagavatam said they were so eager to come into the presence of these four saintly beings that they rushed forward like a conditioned soul whose senses are immediately attracted when he sees something attractive in the modes of nature. I imagine if you are liking to eat, you become attracted to, let us say, a good Dalmatian pizza. You know, immediately you are attracted to it. It's spontaneous. You don't need to think a lot about it, but you immediately, wow, pizza. You know, or I happen to like cakes very much, and when I walk past the temple shop and there are these cakes, you know, I'm going I make sure that I preach just very close, shoulder and shoulder to the cake, you know, because there's so much spontaneous attraction. So Preetam Maharaj and his ministers felt the same spontaneous attraction to the four Kumaras, to the four saints, and that qualified them for getting their mercy. If you are anxious and eager for true sadhu sangha, you know, you're very eager, you feel spontaneously attracted to it. And if you are humble and not challenging, and you even are in a mood where you want to do some seva to these great souls, some service in their mission, if that is with you, that desire, not just to enjoy some intellectual stimulus, but no, you want connection, true connection, then you will get some mercy. So Prito Maharaj then did something which is very necessary when you meet a true saint. What do you do in the presence of a true saint? Prito Maharaj, he is an example. He asked them how it would be possible for him to attain relief from the suffering of worldly existence. And how, further, this was his second question, how he would attain the goal of his life, Krishna consciousness. The sadhus or devotees of Krishna are to be asked these two questions, like, you know, I have this problem. I seem to not get rid of it. How can I become free from this obstacle in my path? And then second, we should ask, tell me very distinctly, directly, what I should do now on my present level of Krishna consciousness to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, whenever one meets a great saintly person, one should immediately surrender unto him and inquire about relief from the pains of material existence. I read this many years ago, but my spiritual master had left the planet already. I remember I needed one answer in my spiritual life, because I had been trying and trying, but I had the feeling that although I was preaching personally about spiritual advancement, I really remained on the same spot for years. And it was paining me. It was really paining me. So I made a long journey. A long journey, I remember, and I came to someone whom I considered to be a true saintly person. I had studied his literature, his lectures. It was the late Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, who just was known in the Vaishnava world as you know, everyone, that no one had a doubt that he is really the most advanced, because he embodied a deep knowledge of our tradition and an amazing amount of humility, which is seen only in those who really have love for Krishna. He would greet even a bhakta. You know, you were disarmed by him. And I went to him and I said, my spiritual master has left, and I'm not intelligent enough to understand his instructions. Please look at me with your Vaishnava eyes. You can use your Röntgen eyes. Then he didn't first understand what were Röntgen eyes. You investigate my heart, please. I have no secrets before you. And you please tell me how someone like me, who has met a spiritual master but who has not taken full advantage of his teaching, and then he was left an orphan, how I can make advancement. I had trust in him because I had read many of his writings, and I had seen him, and I've heard about him, and I had once met him, and he looked at me and he spoke for 2 hours to me how to make advancement. He spoke in Bengali, a language which I do not know. He was so absolutely enthusiastic to help me, because true saints are really humble, and he didn't wait for the English translator, you know. He was not afraid of his own enthusiasm. And he talked and talked and talked, and I don't speak Bengali, but after 2 hours I knew everything I needed to know. Because the gifts of a sadhu are not to your mind, they are to your heart. They transform your heart. Of course I could hear some Harinam, Harinam. I had heard this word and I know what it meant. And I heard pretty, pretty, pretty. And I heard other words. Aparane. And I knew what that meant. And so on. But beyond his words, there was something else. He had given me some kripa to move onwards. And I have never forgotten it. And I have followed that very disciplined, although I'm I'm not, I'm a little bit, you know me, a little too much life. Whenever one meets, Prabhupada expresses it so nice, a saintly person, one should immediately surrender unto him and inquire about relief from the material pains of existence. It is the life and soul of such saintly people to speak about the Supreme Lord. This year when I was in Vrindavan, I visited one a saintly person who is a devotee of Ram. He's not directly in my line, but I wanted to see him and see if I could learn how to present Krishna consciousness in a very wonderful way. This saintly person is speaking, and sometimes 40,000 to 50,000 people come and listen. But they really listen, you know. They listen for 7 days. It would be wrong to say non-stop. It's in the morning and it's in the evening, and there are pauses in between. But they listen, and then this person, his name is Murari Vapu. He said, sometimes I'm asked that I'm now so old, why don't you stop giving your katas? He travels all over. He is so much, they want him, and he has to be in many places, so he travels by helicopter. He's really in demand, you know. And so sometimes people ask me, you are now old, why don't you stop speaking about Ram? And he said, has the wind ever stopped blowing when it was asked to stop? Has the river ever stopped flowing when it was asked to stop? And then he just said, and he was so genuine, he almost cried, it's my life to glorify Ram. So I thought this was very nice of him, and his life showed that he really does a lot of tapasya, a lot of, you know, he's a real one in Ram Bhakti. No? Srila Prabhupada has said, when you meet such person who wants to talk about Krishna, who likes this, it's his life mission, then when you hear from him, something happens in your heart. He says, as silver becomes shiny when it is polished, the heart becomes purified just by hearing from such devotees. Maybe we all know this. Sometimes silver articles in our temple which we use in order to worship Krishna nicely, and it gets sometimes even black. Have you seen silver? It seems to, I think the word is oxidate. So our heart sometimes does that also. It oxidates. That means it takes on the qualities of the environment in which we are. And as long as we are in the material environment, it's just like silver. It takes on too much oxygen from the atmosphere, then gets black. So we sometimes take too much unnecessary from our material environment, and our heart becomes black. It oxidates. It becomes impure with things which don't believe there, which belong there, which are unnecessary actually for us. We are beyond this already. We are on a different level, but somehow it catches us again and takes possession of us. So then you take some polish and you polish a little, and the silver becomes shiny and it looks really nice. It looks really wonderful. So when you come, when you, in the same way as you should go into the association of devotees, and you should make it a point to hear. Your mind should be between your ears and not on holiday somewhere else. It should bring your mind with you, and then you hear that, and then you hear it in a surrendered form, not to find faults, but to really see, let me see if there's something for me to learn. And then your heart gets purified when you do like that. So Prithu Maharaj had a very specific question. He had in the beginning not dared to express his question very, you know, like that. Sometimes we are a little shy to say. He just said, can you help me to become free from my inner obstacles and how I can reach Krishna? But now he felt confident in the association of the Kumaras, and he said, how can I make fast advancement? I can't tolerate the material life any longer. I just yesterday received a beautiful letter from one devotee and said, I think I have reached the point where you can work with me. I just can't tolerate my old life any longer. I thought something must change, you know. I'm here, and I brought my ears and I brought my mind and my heart. Please, you know, tell me. So, how can I make fast advancement? Prithu Maharaj asked this. And when Sanat Kumar, he was the oldest, heard this question, you know, they were situated on four little thrones, golden thrones. Prithu Maharaj had arranged to let the Kumaras take a very prominent sitting place in his royal assembly hall. When the Kumaras heard this question, they felt very, very moved. Someone who's really sincere. And they glorified the question. They said, this is a wonderful question. Let us look at your question. This question is not only good for you, because it is good for all others. Therefore, this is a very, very good question. How to make fast advancement is a good question. Maybe Sanat Kumar, this is my speculation, was thinking at the moment when he heard this eager question of the king, of his own life. He was very advanced, but not really there. He was merged in impersonal understanding of the Lord. He was Brahman realized. And once he came to the Vaikuntha planets, and he had heard of that the Lord is there, who's the origin of the Brahman. He had come with his four brothers, and he wanted to see, but everything came out differently. He thought he wanted to have the darshan of the Lord, but he was stopped by the guards with his brothers. But the Lord knew he was there. Four devotees four saints who wanted to see me. Unfortunately, my guards stopped them. So he came on his own feet, very fast, to the gate where the Kumaras were just stopped. And when he came, the first thing the Kumaras realized of him was the smell of his lotus feet. As we heard yesterday, Krishna has a very good fragrance. So they smelled the incredible smell of the Lord's lotus feet mixed with the smell of tulasi. And just by smelling this, they became absolutely attracted and left their old impersonalistic understanding and advanced from, you know, impersonalists or Brahmavadis to devotees, to Vaishnavas. So maybe Sanat Kumar understood, I also made advancement. So I really feel now enthusiastic. How this person says, wants to make an advancement, he's a king. And he began to collect his mind to answer this question. Are you interested in his answers?
Yes.
This is very good. One needs also a little encouragement from his audience from time to time. See, there are two principles when you want to make advancement in any field. You need to leave something behind, and you need to embrace something new. Manisha, I see that you think very deeply. Let us now think like Manisha. If you want to make advancement in any field, you have to give up the lower to get the higher. No? Let us say you just one morning you wake up and you understand, my God, I'm so unhealthy. Look at me. I'm just a wreck. And the only thing which has advanced in the last years is the size of my belly. And this is unhealthy. This is dangerous, you know. I've become so judgmental. I always criticize anything and everyone who comes in contact with me. I was not like this before. This is not good. I don't really want such type of life. And you feel, I want to make advancement. Then you always, before you get something higher, my dear devotees, you have to also let go of something lower. If you want to come from point A, let us say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, to point G, you have to leave away point A, leave it, and you have to go to B, then to C, to D, and eventually you will go to G. You have to give up something if you want to go. Sanat Kumar knew he would have to give in his teachings a way, and now comes the Vaishnava way. We first talk about attachment, then we mention some detachment. We always talk about the positive things first in our Vaishnavism, about Krishna, his pastimes, because this gives an individual strength and attraction so that he or she can become detached and renounce certain things which are there and which need to be renounced. It happens more or less automatically. When you develop a higher attachment, you can have the strength to leave away what is no longer necessary for you. No? So all scriptures speak about developing detachment towards matter and attachment to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has spoken about this. And I want to make this really, maybe it's kind of clear to you, but please try to bring your mind to this. First comes the positive, then the negative. I sometimes feel in our movement we stress it in the wrong succession. We say, leave this, leave, renounce. This is not good. And we talk so much about it that we never talk about what is good. What is the real thing? You know, it was at the Govardhan retreat. I think some of you have visited us and some of you are making plans to come. One devotee said, in our movement we don't talk about Krishna. Then another older devotee said, yes, I notice we only do this at the Govardhan retreat. Then another one came up and all the older devotees said like this. Sometimes it is considered to be a sahajiya when one talks about Krishna and the Hare Krishna movement. Everywhere else it's all right, but you know, and so on. But so sometimes it has been mentioned by people who, in my eyes, are overly critical. I make now a point: it's not like that. We all like to hear about Krishna and hear prayers, but sometimes people who are a little bit overly critical, they may say like this because they have noticed. Yes, in many lectures we don't hear personal information about Krishna's smile and how it moves in his face and all this important information. So our Sanat Kumar now begins his answer. And he says this verse, which I will say it in English first and then we will do it in Sanskrit. He says, devotees are engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. And because they are engaged so positively in the service of the fragrant feet of the Lord, very easily they can overcome the heart knotted desires for material activities. They are absorbed in Krishna, therefore very easily they can give up Maya. Then he continues, because this is very difficult, not easy, very difficult to give up attachment to Maya. The non-devotees, that's the jnanis and the yogis, although they are trying so hard to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Then he says, therefore you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudev. They say, Preetu, you want to make fast advancement? Become attached. To Krishna. He will now say how to do this. Don't worry. I see Riboye, who has just written such a big book on religious experience in the Hare Krishna movement. He is our acharya in this subject. You know, what do devotees actually experience beyond what they think? You know, this is a scholarly work. In Oxford, it won a first prize. It is not an insignificant word. Work, you know. What is it really? What is there? So here Don't worry, Revoye, you will get 5 answers what you can do to become attached. No? He's a scholar. I have to be very careful in this lecture to be quite accurate in presentation. But let us please chant these words, you know. They will purify us. Yat pada pankaja pala savila sabakya. Kamashayam gratitamut kratayanti santa.
Kamashayam gratitamut kratayanti santa.
Tatvanna rikta matayo yatayo pirudda.
Tatvanna rikta matayo yatayo pirudda.
Shroto ganasta maranam bhaja vasudevam.
Shroto ganasta maranam bhaja vasudevam.
Now he had told the king, develop attachment to Krishna and his service. And then he now gives, like any true saint, he has given the prayojana tattva, that means the goal of the practice, attachment or love of Krishna. Now he will say what is the abhideya tattva, that is, what is the way to go there, to the goal. And he says 5 points which I like very, very much. I think it relieved my heart so much to hear this, and therefore I decided to share this with you and with great affection. He said, develop first of all your faith and your determination. Tomorrow I will give you a present, a book. It's called, well, that is still a secret, but it's now in the printing press. It's a novel, something very, with a lot of action and but deep spiritual instructions. It's a spiritual novel. So also there the point is, first you must develop faith in the path and then determination. In the modern language, you would say focus. We say shraddha, you know. And then they would say energy. You must apply yourself to it, you know. You must be willing to show some detail, some. This is important for you. So, develop faith and determination. Then the second is Shravanadasa. Inquire about bhakti. Just you need to find out what is this? What is bhakti? How does this work, this process? What is the English word? Inquisitiveness is required. Should you remain curious? And then you need to become a little bit steady in Atma Yoga. Atma Yoga means, you know, Prabhupada talks about it in the third canto. It's like you need to understand I'm a soul. It's called in Sanskrit language Sambandha Gyan. You need to know I'm a soul, I'm not the body. Remember how Prabhupada really put a lot of time into teaching this point to us, because really this is the foundation. You cannot really progress much beyond if you always think you're a man or woman or a body or a, you know, Atma Yoga is very important. then this is so beautiful. You must start to look for good association, and you should actually worship devotees. That's the word of Sanat Kumar, worship devotees. You should have some feeling for devotees. It's important, you worship it, them not it. Let me see if I can find the Sanskrit for you. Worship devotee. Become a friend of devotees. Do something for devotees. Just give them pleasure. And finally, and it's also so practical, you should daily hear about the Lord. You know, Krishna Katha is so important. These are the five recommendations. Would you like if we go one more time about through them, just so that we can easily hold them? It starts with faith and determination. If the cup of your faith is broken, how can you put water into a broken cup? Doesn't work. You have to repair the cup. So develop faith. Do something which helps you to develop your faith. And my little gift to you on my birthday will be this book which you will see. You have never read something. It's really like different from a philosophical, a purely philosophical book. It's about the actual life of what happens there. And you will have to see that your determination for this goal is becoming a little bit more. Then you need to inquire about bhakti. What is it really? How can I get it? Is it possible to obtain this devotional service in the heart? Then third, you need to become steady in Atma Yoga. We have tried to serve the community by bringing out a CD with meditations about how you are the soul. There's some meditation, and then it's Bhagavad Gita, meditation on Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, shlokas. Become steady in Atma Yoga. I highly recommend the CDs. It's called Within Your Sacred Space. Are on the way, I think, from London. Devotees bring them. Then you worship the devotees of Krishna. That is ancient devotees and more recent devotees. For instance, some devotees who want to increase their taste for chanting, do you know what they do? They worship Haridas Thakur. I've seen this in our movement, because it is known that these devotees can give us blessing in chanting and move forward. They actually give him water and garlands and everything. Madhava, the singer Madhava, who sings so nicely, and was such a nice devotee, he worships regularly. Giriraj Maharaj worships regularly. Madhava Muni and Kishori worship regularly. I know they have a beautiful deity. I secretly wanted to have that, but I could not ask them. And I got a smaller one I also have now. Worship the devotees. But also modern devotees, who live and walk amongst us. And then daily hear about the Lord. That's daily. Mahaprabhu said that day where we hear from the Bhagavatam is a good day. That day where we don't hear from the Bhagavatam is a bad day. So daily we need to hear. These are five ways how to develop attachment. This is discussed by Sanat Kumara in the fourth canto, chapter 22. You might like to read that. Text 22. It's 22. Sa shraddhaya bhagavadharma chayaya yigyasayat yatmika yoga nishtaya yogeshvaropasanaya chanityam punya shravakataya punyaya cha. Now Prabhupada writes a very interesting piece of divine information about this five processes, how to develop attachment. And he says, the conclusion is that to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master and learn from him the methods of devotional service and hear from him about the transcendental message and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, you know, by learning from a bona fide spiritual master, in this way one has to increase his conviction about devotional service. We need to be convinced. We need to have shraddha and determination. Then it will be very easy to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is how Prabhupada ends his purport to this text, which is really telling us many, many things. So I will end this lecture by going to another work. It's called the Sanat Kumar Sanghita. You know, Sanat Kumar is speaking here to Prithu Maharaj, and there is a work, it's a Sanghita, where he gets more deeper into the subject matter. In the Bhagavatam, he deals with the subject, how to make advancement in spiritual life, very, very deeply. But here in the Sanat Kumar Sanghita, he adds some more information. But let me see now. Can someone? I don't see so good any longer. How long? How late is it? 9:30, 9:35, 9:25. So, honestly. Yeah. Okay, then we have 5 more minutes. Can you still? Is it still, or do you need a pause? You can. This. Let us end here. How does he? You know, we heard we should develop attachment to Krishna by learning from someone who is attached. It's simple like that. So. In this work, Sanat Kumar Samhita, he speaks now more about guru-disciple relationship. He says, when a person gets tired of the material world, he should consider deeply in his mind how he can sever means to cut, a connection with this world. Only when he succeeds in that, will such a person who is unhappy with the world attain peerless happiness. And that makes it a little difficult, you know, because I think most of us, we want to have both of both worlds. A little difficult, but let us hear patiently if a chance is there for us. No? O Brahmana, a wise person who is aware that the shelter of the Lord is very difficult to attain and who is distressed by material life should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. I have noted in my 40 years of Krishna, of 40 plus years in doing this, that both in myself and in others who are on the path, there is a very interesting phenomena. In the beginning, one is very tired and exhausted from material life. One really says, ich hab die Nase voll, Mann, echt. You know, this is German, it says something to Madhupati, who speaks this language, but not to the many of us. It means really, I don't know even how to express it. You know, I'm really fed up. In English you say fed up, up till here with the material world. I really want something else. And we come to Krishna consciousness with this mood. Remember your own life? You really, to make a change was the only thing you wanted. You tried things and now you found the way. Now, as one progresses on the path of Krishna consciousness, one finds out something which is very natural and it is also good. One has still a body and a mind. And one needs to somehow situate himself in the world. And the ideal is if one can situate himself in a very good, you know, in a situation where one doesn't have to think of money because it's enough is there, and one doesn't have to think of relationships because one has found a very good person who can assist one on the path. One does not have to think about it's all there. You know, there will be some devotees from London coming who are just so well situated that they never think about it. And they are very, very, very Krishna conscious. Charanga and myself were totally surprised that in the midst of all this really wealth, they drive a car. You have never seen such a car in your life. It can do many things. It can massage you while you drive. It is a space for your legs. You can just put your legs whoop, like this. It doesn't reach the end, you know. It everywhere, in the front and in the back. It can do everything except for flying. Also the car, you are frustrated when you are in a stau, in a traffic jam. But everything else, no, then it makes music and does things, you know, and entertains you with films and movies and so on. But anyways, traffic jam is a traffic jam. It's always frustrating, you know, because you want to get somewhere fast usually. So, but they are so Krishna conscious because they don't have to worry. We often are poor and we are not situated with our life, and therefore, because it's so difficult, it may overwhelm us at times. Oh no, oof, I have to take care of all this. And sometimes we may even forget our spiritual initial enthusiasm. For some time at least, it may not be so manifest. It may be just dormant. It's there, but like a fire under the ashes, but we are really a little bit covered. This can happen on our spiritual path. So here it is said, the qualification is really, you need to be eager to get this. And there is a very nice now course which we have developed. It's called the Tree of Life. It's a very good format. At least people feel like this. They want to make this. Anyways, why talk? You have to study it on yourself if you like it. It's a method how you can achieve physical, emotional, and social well-being. There's a lot of Krishna conscious psychology and just how to lead a spiritual lifestyle in it. You can, if you are interested. We only have a draft copy of it. It's not 100% ready. We still need the input of a few devotees who work in this field and so on. Good. it's a spiritual method how to take care of what bothers us most of the time, the things which are not intact, you know, physical and emotional and social well-being. We are not placed properly in our life, so it's about that. But also spiritual well-being. Don't fear. It's not a material book. It's a highly spiritual book. So yeah, but let us go back now. I want to say here that I think it is normal if a person sometimes forgets, or not forgets, is not so in touch with his original spiritual motivation, because to live in this world and to get it all together, it's not always so easy, and we are also not always so, I mean, we do this maybe for the first life or the second life, this Krishna consciousness. We are not yet so expert in all of this. It is said, now the qualities of a bona fide guru are given. It is said that a bona fide spiritual master should be peaceful. He should be non-envious. He should be devoted to Lord Krishna. He should not be interested in things that have no relation to Lord Krishna. He should not be engaged in activities that have no relation to Lord Krishna. He should be filled with spiritual virtues. It means good things. He should be free of anger and greed, learned in the science of the nectar mellows of Lord Krishna, that means rasa tattva. He should be expert in the mantras glorifying Lord Krishna. He should always be surrendered to Lord Krishna and always taking shelter of Lord Krishna, devoted to chanting the mantras glorifying Lord Krishna. He should be always pure, always pious and religious, always engaged in devotional service to the Lord, a teacher who shows his disciples how to serve the Lord. He should himself be a disciple in the Sampradaya, disciplic succession. He should be filled with mercy and he should be renounced. I'm happy that I met Srila Prabhupada. And I have to tell you, I am not all these qualities, unfortunately. I'm trying. But you have Srila Prabhupada, that is, you have a point where you can enter. It is said, now it comes to you, your side. It is said that a bona fide disciple, oops, sit properly, now it's about you, should have qualities like these also. Would you like to hear again? Non-envious, devoted to Krishna, not interested in things that have no relation to Lord Krishna, not engaged in activities. Ooh, that's a tall order. He should have faith in his spiritual master's feet, be devoted to his spiritual master, and have the attainment of liberation at the goal of his life. This should be your goal. I want this. Service to the spiritual master is the same as direct loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The wise who have learned in the Vedas and Vedangas, that is the supplementary literature to the Vedas, declare that this service is the path to liberation. And I will now end his with a very nice verse, what should be the mood of us disciples. Trayasyo bo jagannata guru sang saravanina daktam chakala dashtram cha Trahimang bhavasagara. This is how the disciple approaches his spiritual master. O spiritual master of all the worlds, please rescue me. For I am burning in the fire of repeated birth and death. I am bitten by the black snake of time. Please save me from the ocean of birth and death. And then it says, this is for some of us, one time only should one accept initiation to the worship of his lotus feet. Not like in modern times we are initiated 5,000 times, you know. One time only should one accept initiation to the worship of Krishna's lotus feet. This is said by the wise. Sanat Kumar Samhita, text 90 onwards. So I will stop here and answer the question which is now like an elephant in the room. What should we do if such a great soul is very difficult to find? And what should we do with ourselves? We also find out our qualifications are not so good. How can we still make it work? How can we make the guru-disciple relationship work? How can we make our guru-disciple relationship work? Because it seemed we have to develop attachment to someone who is attached, and then we continue forward. We continue forward in this way, develop faith and determination, inquire about bhakti, become steady in the self, atma, this is called atma yoga, worship the devotees and daily hear about Krishna. I want to say something before ending this class. I feel that yes, it is a tall order. Once Guru Hari wrote something which devotees liked very much. He said, it's a great responsibility to become a good disciple. It's not easy. And I want to say, it's a great responsibility to become a teacher of others. It's not easy. But I know that if someone gives his best, with the best motivation, Krishna is there to help and make all the necessary arrangements. Krishna will never ever disappoint his devotees who search for him. Krishna will always make the arrangements, incredible arrangements, astonishing arrangements. Arrangements which I also have seen in my discipleship to Srila Prabhupada. And that therefore this faith in Krishna is very important, very important. He will make everything work by the mercy of Madhava, that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A layman can cross mountains. A layman mountains? Woo, how is it possible? By the mercy it is possible. A blind man can see the stars. Blind? If he's really blind, how can he see the stars? This is not possible. In biology, I have learned, it's in medicine, I have not. No, by mercy it is possible. And a fool, listen to this, can become an eloquent speaker by the milas, by the mercy of Krishna. Fool can only say foolish things. If you press an orange, no nectar will come out, only orange juice. No? So a fool, when he speaks, only foolishness comes out. How can he be a good speaker? By the mercy of Madhava. No? The same is said The same verse is said in relationship to the spiritual master. By his mercy, a lame man can climb mountains, a blind man see the stars, and a fool can speak. No? Both by Guru and Krishna Kripa, miracles can happen. But we will hear about this in great detail. Come to second, this was the first part. I will end here the class, and then tomorrow we will hear the second part of this splendor. Oh my God, it's a long part. Tomorrow we again have to listen like anything. So I have ended the class. Would you like to ask some questions, Krishna Laya? Wonderful, Krishna Laya. Have you all heard the question, or should I repeat it for clarity? Yes. You have said that we should situate ourselves nicely to go on our path, but on the other hand, it is said very clearly that if a devotee is very dear to Krishna, he takes away everything from Krishna. Can you please explain? Krishna Laya wants to know. I mean, if I'm trying to situate myself, am I trying, you know, to... I mean, am I trying to do this and then Krishna comes and everything is taken as I try to grab the things I need? Krishna Laya, you are Krishna Laya. This is a good question. I mean this in the sense that this is the questions I'm used to hear from you. Very good. Thank you so much. You have remained yourself. The way I personally understand this verse, Harishyatatanam Shanai. Hari takes away the dhanam, the wealth, is that Krishna takes away from his devotees that what is an obstacle for them. He doesn't take away what they need to come to him. Now, different devotees are on different levels of advancement. Those who start, who are beginners on the path, they need other things than those who are advanced devotees and who have therefore different requirements. So when there is a devotee who is on a moderate level of advancement, moderate means not bad, not good, it's a medium, you know, then he needs to have an emotional stability and all this, because if there are such obstacles like him, he's just so sad, then for a not so advanced devotees that blocks all his advancement. I have seen, you know, devotees don't leave the path because of doubting the philosophy. They have just great obstacles in their lives. That's why they leave. And they were hoping that these obstacles would go away. That's my analysis. So Krishna, there's another verse, because you still look, you are speculating, Guru Maharaj. You want to make it easy for us, but I will quote now another verse for your pleasure. Ananyas chintayantumam ye jana payupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. It means, for those who are devoted to me, I give what they need and I maintain what they have. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Lord likes to do it. It's not that he does it grudgingly. Oh, they are not so advanced, you know. I have to give it, you know. No, he does it like a father maintains his loving family. He works hard, the father, and he then carries on his head a basket of fruits and bananas for his family. He doesn't consider it a burden. He considers it a joy to bring that to his people. Krishna is like this. But he takes away obstacles. And sometimes we think obstacles are the best things we have. That may happen. And then Krishna's hand just comes into our little world. You could not understand that this is an obstacle on your own. Now, I take it away. Because we are sometimes viparyaya smriti. Our intelligence stands on the head, you know, and we see everything upside down. So then Krishna sometimes comes in his mercy. But he gives you what you need and maintains what you need on your level of advancement. See, what you see and have seen in your life, have you seen that Krishna sometimes takes things away? I think we all have seen, no? That was an obstacle, but you can understand it later. Usually only later. Right, Krishna took away when I was preaching, he took away my health once that I needed to go into the hospital. And I thought, why? You know, I was really, why? Like a German, you know. They are a little rebellious. Why? Why me? Much later I could understand that was necessary that Krishna took away, because I was walking on the wrong path in my service. I needed to change everything. Yeah. But later only I saw Mandaleshwari. Did I also see some boys? Yes, and not boys, some men? Not yet. Okay, no problem. Mandaleshwari, ask your question, please.
Yes, Guru Maharaj, we hear again and again that it's very important that this I am body, mature body. I am not this body in our path. My question is that we know that, you know, we do our endeavor, but the last point is the Krishna open the door to give us prema. This prema is not something which we can reach. He has to give it. Mm-hmm. Has to call his mercy. I have this question to realize that I am not this body. Really, I am not this body. Because I think this is really most important in my path. I am not this body. So all my desire, attachment, and this and that is related to this strong identity, but I related to this body. So this realization comes also, we have to wait and we have to pray to Krishna's causes first to give it to us, or some
How does this come to us? I'm not the body. The latest time when it comes to you is, I mean, to a normal, to a devotee, is the time when we leave this world. We it's very clear to us. We see it. We leave the body and we are still there. We leave it like a house behind. But you want to obviously learn it faster and not wait until the last moment. There's something which I can only... You have asked me personally, How do we understand I'm not the body? Once Graf Dürkheim, this noble man from Germany, asked Prabhupada, how do you make your disciples understand that they are not the body? Graf Dürkheim was fighting as a German officer in somewhere, I forgot where, but his body was bombed. There was a hand grenade, and he actually had a near-death experience. He left his mutilated, this like wounded body, and was floating over the battlefield and saw, my God, that's my body, but I'm here. I'm not the body. And he wanted to know how Prabhupada would make us understand what he understood in the Second World War. What is your method? I was very interested to see how would Prabhupada answer and give away the secret of a teacher. How does he teach someone and make them understand? And Prabhupada just said something which I first could not really understand and appreciate. He said, he stopped. I mean, he was really moved, you know, by this question. Moved in the sense he really took the question and he really wanted to answer. I tell them what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. That's all. That's my method. Now, I knew Graf Dürkheim's background of his question, that he had experienced a near-death experience, you say. That he had seen that he's not the body. And I was thinking, because I'm always a little critical inside, is this really an answer? I mean, it's a theoretical concept for us to hear what is it an experience? But later, I decided to park the question. Park means, okay, I don't know the answer, but I will not doubt now, Prabhupada. Let me just put it here. Maybe I later understand this answer. And I understand now what I did not understand then, that when you hear again and again from a realized teacher, you understand it. And you understand it if you follow the method of the teacher. And the method is, which Prabhupada gives us, is devotional service. When you do devotional service and you really give your best in it and you use your body, you use your intelligence and you use your mind in real service, you know, service means it's not for you and it's not done because you have a motive in it, but it's really done for the pleasure of Krishna or his devotees. If you do that, then there comes a time always where you understand, I'm not really doing it, I'm just an instrument here. I'm not the doer. You understand that. And this understanding, I'm not the doer, is the first thing, you know, where you, it starts there, where you can understand, I'm not the body. And you understand, it's not me, it's something else is at work here. You understand, it's not my body, not my mind, not by my intelligence. You have some spiritual understanding. So I can only recommend you. Our movement has changed. Most of you are living in what is technically called the congregation. You know, you're not a priest who lives in the temple, most of you. And I really can recommend you look for direct devotional service, which you do not because you like doing something. I mean, you should also not pick something which you don't like doing. It's not about you, devotional service. It's about Krishna. and try to please Krishna. And then that this understanding is given to you, Mandaleshwari, I can only say it's given to you by mercy. That's my experience. Hare Krishna. We have come to an end, I feel. And I wish you a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness and with good association. Try to remember sometimes these 5 points which we have heard. Develop faith and determination. Then I inquire about bhakti. Then Atma Yoga. My God, you are good. Then worship devotee. Yeah, I feel there is a slight imbalance here. The Matajis know everything. Worship devotees, that you had heard from them. It's not, yeah, but you know it also. Yes, good. And then? Not the girls. We need to. Something is wrong with our daily hear about Lord. My God, you're not so bad. Thank you. I didn't want to offend you. I know you were thinking very deep. I mean it honest. I could see from your expression in the face that you were thinking about this. Good. I almost feel disinclined to stop. And 2 days ago, I dreamt of Rohini Sutta Prabhu, who can go very long, as we all know. But don't worry, I know. We had Ekadasi yesterday, and we really are hungry now. Can you understand why I talk about these things? Can you understand that I have thought about what I would think before present on this? Can you imagine that I have thought about what I... If one knows me, one... Yeah. Why do I talk about these things? Why, you know, I could talk about millions of other things. Really, there's so much. I'm now reading almost every day in the Bhagavatam. Almost, because sometimes it's just so much to do. And there are many subjects, you know, for instance, the discussion between Maitreya and Vidura. It's just, poof, is that good, you know? Or other things where really, so many subjects are there. Why this subject? How to make fast advancement? And how to do it? Why? You know what? I honestly feel that in this time and age, we are just surrounded by so much negativity, so much materialism, so many concepts. We are just surrounded by them. And just like silver, we adopt some of that against our will. And then our enthusiasm is something which we become afraid of. It's there, the enthusiasm, but we don't dare to respond to that in the full measurement of our body, mind, and intelligence. You know, we don't dare to be ecstatic any longer. Mm-mm. And I mean here, not in the highest form of bhava and prema bhakti, but I just mean enthusiastic devotees. We don't dare to do this. We think it will maybe not work. That was when I was young and had other priorities. Now I really, you know, I really have to do things which are, you know, which are pressing. And it is my great conviction that all of you are like silver. You are, everyone is. But we need to just find ways how to reach that initial glowing yes and put a little enthusiasm and the understanding it's possible, it's not impossible, and to just destroy these doubts. And therefore I thought I would just tell from the Bhagavatam, because my words don't have power, but the Bhagavatam words are the Bhagavatam. This is all from the scriptures. Because I know we will only be happy. Why? I'm in the same category. We only will be happy if we are in blissful Krishna consciousness. I know that. And you also know it. So therefore, I'm trying to see a way to go. My secret hope is that at least one person will leave this lecture with a list of the 5 points. I know 99% will maybe remember two points and then forget slowly and so on. But my hope is that at least one person will just, I shouldn't say it like